Yo, what's cracking? This your homeboy Ice Cube, and you tuned in to Everything Snowboarding and More podcast. You know what it is, baby.
Hey, everybody, this is Mike with the Mountain Weekly News. Welcome back to episode number 56 of the Everything Snowboarding, Outdoors, and More podcast. This week's podcast is being brought to you by Magnum Bikes. Magnum Bikes is some of our favorite e-bikes based in Salt Lake City. For more information on Magnum Bikes, check out magnumbikes.com. This week's special guest is Uni Kamen. Uni is the founder of Magnum Bikes. We actually had the opportunity to take these bikes out, do some downhill riding at Jackson Hole Mountain Resort, as well as around in the Tetons, and we were really, really impressed with just how well these e-bikes ride. This was a line of the e-mountain bikes that we tested out with Magnum Bikes, and we're gonna let Uni tell you all about Magnum, as well as this line that we tested. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this week's guest is Uni Kamen. Uni Kamen is the CEO and founder of Magnum Bikes, some of our favorite e-mountain bikes that we've tested as of late. Uni, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Mike.
So Uni, one of the things that stood out with Magnum Bikes, you guys are based right now in Salt Lake City. We love that. You know, we're here in Jackson. But where was the brand started and kind of what was the background for Magnum Bikes?
Sure. A little bit of the background. I actually started the brand overseas in Israel. I grew up in New York, but I was moved out, you know, traveled back and forth. I saw e-bikes taking off in Europe a lot earlier than they took off in the U.S. So when I was over in Tel Aviv, e-bikes were just coming out into the market. They weren't really even legal yet. And I went over to China where they were starting to manufacture them for export. And a couple of years later, I started actually originally manufacturing for other brands because nobody really had a clue about e-bikes. Even the big bicycle brands in Israel had no idea. I became kind of like the expert over there. And after a few years of doing that, I opened my own brand, the Magnum brand. And then in 2015, so that was in 2013, where Magnum was officially launched. 2015, moved over to the U.S., set up shop in Salt Lake City with a good friend of mine, Jesse Lappin, who's now the COO and partner of the company, and the rest is kind of history.
And can you talk more about how e-bikes were kind of a bigger thing in Europe, you know, 10 years ago versus kind of now? You know, it seems like we're just playing catch up in the United States. I mean, for me, I'm super intrigued. Like, I mean, is there like in Israel, I mean, are the Israelis, I mean, is the e-bike, is that a massive thing right now, just like most of the other places in Europe?
Absolutely. You know, bicycles in general are more popular and more commonly used as a mode of transportation in Europe. It might be because of the culture, but it also very well might be just because of the size and the way the urbanization kind of has been built out. In the U.S., we have a lot of space. People use their cars to go to your local shop. You can drive a good couple of miles where, you know, the average person in Europe is living in much more condensed space. So bikes in general, you know, are much bigger as a mode of transportation. But then e-bikes, when they came onto the market, you know, I want to say 20 years ago, they were really locally used in Asia. And they're really kind of these like lead acid batteries, motorbike type of e-bikes. That's where like the original, you know, maybe 20, 30 years ago, even they were using them in China and Southeast Asia. And then when they started developing them for export, you know, that wasn't a good product for export. So Europeans who are really into biking, they started consuming and demanding, you know, a regular bicycle, but that's something that's going to be able to get me further, easier, expand the demographic to older ages, and so on. And then the U.S. really did play catch up in a very big way. You know, in 2014, when I first demoed in the Interbike show in Las Vegas, it was literally like a corner with like a small green carpet and like maybe a handful of booths with e-bikes. Nothing like it is today. Yeah, and the Eurobike show, in contrast, by 2014, had already integrated e-bikes pretty much into every part of their exhibition. So, you know, light years away in some ways, but the U.S. has really caught up, or at least it's on that trajectory.
And then as far as picking Salt Lake City to be kind of your location in the United States, one of the things that we're noticing is that, you know, e-mountain bikes haven't really taken off yet here in the United States the way that they are in Europe. When I talk to people that are, you know, riding mountain bikes in Europe or recreating or taking vacations to go to Europe, you know, it is pretty heavy. Most people ride e-mountain bikes, and, you know, if they're going out riding, whatever they have is an e-bike style. And one of the things that, you know, when we got your bikes to test, we tested the Vertex as well as the Peak T5, and we were like, wow, like this is amazing. What we're dealing with is there's a lot of places here that really aren't allowing e-bikes yet on the Forest Service trails. And so we're trying to work with the land managers. But was that kind of one of the reasons, you know, being in Salt Lake City, because Park City and all the different mountain biking, were you kind of thinking ahead like, hey, you know, this not only is the e-bike thing going to be big in the U.S., but the e-mountain biking segment is something that just really, I mean, I don't think we've even come close to tapping into it.
We have not. We really have not. And the truth is that to get to the niche markets, I would say e-mountain biking is still considered, and really all, like, you know, semi-professional sports that take a lot of, you know, expensive equipment and a lot of experience, knowledge, athleticism, et cetera, like road biking and mountain biking and, you know, a lot of other sports that fit that category. It really, in my opinion, will come from the mainstream as an overflow. So like when everybody's riding e-bikes, then the mountain bikers are gonna ride e-bikes as well. They're not gonna be jumping into it first because the type of bikes that they have and the type of, you know, skill set that they possess doesn't really demand from them an e-bike. Although, you know, getting up the mountain, if you notice, a lot of people are taking the lifts up. You know, in my opinion, that's a big miss. You know, if you have an e-bike, you're not taking the lift up. You're actually experiencing and enjoying, you know, getting up the mountain. And you can, even if you're not like, you know, a Superman, a super biker, you know. So there is a miss over there. But at the same time, I don't think that it could start. You know, the e-bike revolution is not going to start from the professionals and the enthusiasts. Going to start from the mainstream, and it's going to spill over into that. That's what I'm seeing.
And then as far as technology with e-bikes, you know, a lot of times we're trying to explain to people about the different drives. And when the Vertex arrived, you know, you had the mid-drive motor versus the kind of rear hub. What was kind of the reasoning for doing that with that specific bike and just kind of e-bikes in general? You know, for a consumer that doesn't really understand the difference between, you know, where the motor is either located in the back or kind of right under the pedals, what would be the benefit of either or in that situation?
Sure. Look, I mean, Magnum Bikes, you know, our mission really is to get the masses onto the e-bikes. And that's not going to, you know, you need to be price sensitive. And, you know, mid-drive motors, although they do provide a value, specifically when it comes to mountain bikes, I'll get to that in a second. But not everybody's going to want to spend the extra money for the mid-drives. What does the mid-drive actually provide? The mid-drives, what it does is the motor sits on the chain drive. So where, you know, as the hub drive is in a fixed position and it's constantly, you know, putting out a certain amount of torque based on the size of the wheel, it's kind of in a fixed position in the center of the hub. And your chain and your gears will allow you to pedal and kind of assist or, you know, take some of the stress off of the system. But that stress is a constant when it's fixed in the hub, where as opposed to, you know, when your motor is right in the center and it's sitting on the drivetrain, what that means is that it's moving your chain very similar to the way that you do when you pedal. You know, when you pedal, you get to move the crank and the chain. And, you know, when you change the gears, all of a sudden the pedaling becomes easier or harder based on the gear ratio. And the motor benefits from that same gear ratio change when it's sitting on the drivetrain as a mid-drive, rather, as a mid-drive motor. So there is definitely a big advantage, I would say, for mountain biking, specifically for off-road biking, in that, you know, you are facing a lot of different types of terrain. You're facing uphill, you're facing resistance on different types of terrain, gravel, dirt, you know, paved road. It's not all paved. Maybe none of it is. So that, you know, the mid-drive really utilizes that, the gear ratio, and will allow it to respond better based on, you know, you're choosing the gear and your pedaling is really in sync with the motor. It's kind of one with the motor. You're pedaling together with the motor. You're moving the chain as the motor does as well. So there's definitely an advantage for off-road biking for mid-drives. A lot of people in Europe prefer the mid-drive. Again, I think it comes down to, in many cases, a price value feature. So when you're riding on the road, on a paved road or a bike path, it doesn't really make that much of an impact. There's not really much of a difference between a hub drive and a mid-drive from my experience. Some people find it, you know, appealing. And there are other people that actually find the hub drive more appealing because you get that power, you know, 100%, you get the power like immediately, as opposed to going through the chain drive based on the gears. It's kind of a preference, but in my opinion, and with Magna Bikes, the reason why we chose the mid drive for the Vertex is because it really is gonna be able to take the terrain properly.
Yeah, and I really like the pricing that Magnum has done. You know, the kind of both the bikes that we're talking about right now are right in that, like, you know, $2,200 to I think $3,100 range, or $3,199. And a lot of times people ask us, they say, well, how come, you know, if I go to a local bike store, I'm seeing these e-bikes, you know, an e-bike is $6,000. Why are there other e-bikes that are, you know, in this $2,000 to $3,000 range? And like, somehow now you're able to do a bike with a mid-drive motor and all the bells and whistles for kind of half the price as what we're seeing some of the maybe bigger name e-bike brands sell for at the moment.
Yeah, you know, our top model, the Vertex, is actually our most expensive model, and it tops out at $29.99. So we're trying not to go over that $3,000 price point. We are using the right components. We're trying to get the most value for the most bang for your buck, basically. And if you compare our $29.99 Vertex to, you know, some of the $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 more expensive mountain bikes, e-bikes, you'll notice that, number one, we don't have all of the highest level mechanical components. I mean, you can get a non-electric mountain bike for that for $5,000, $6,000, $10,000 if you want something really high end. And there's plenty of room to go and increase the price based on the mechanical components. What I found is that when you include the electrical system, a lot of the nuances of the mechanical components are kind of moot. They're not really being used. The electric system kind of overpowers them. So if you're looking at, you know, really high-end gears and some of the other, you know, components on the bike that you feel when you're riding, you know, the suspension is still going to be there. It's still going to be an important, you know, feature. But the gear train, the drivetrain, the gears, you know, some of the other features, like, you know, maybe the hydraulic brakes. You don't need necessarily the same components for a mountain bike that is a non-electric bike if you're not going to really be doing the exact same things. You know, some of these downhill bikes, you know, you're not going to be taking an e-bike and looking at it as a downhill bike, because why would you put an electric system to ride downhill, right?
Totally.
So a lot of the components that are used for, you know, really expensive mountain bikes are not going to be used over here. And we just kind of balanced it out and figured out, like, which components will really make a difference with the electric system, and made sure that we would, you know, hit that price point where our range is roughly from $1,500 up to $3,000. We have all different types of bikes, you know, for city, beach cruisers, smaller bikes, folding bikes, you know, mountain bikes, hybrid bikes, et cetera.
Well, I guess that, you know, coming from maybe that person that's very used to, you know, that has their traditional analog, you know, mountain bike, and they're used to certain, you know, components. Okay, I have SRAM, or I use this. When we first got the Vertex, I thought the shifting system reminded me of the SRAM. I was like, well, it's not Shimano, and so I just assumed it was SRAM. And then it wasn't until we started going through the review and doing everything, I was like, oh wow, they're using a different system, like a system that I haven't heard of. But like, we rode that bike really hard uphill and downhill and had no problems. And so I almost wonder, it seems like you're almost onto something where it's like, hey, maybe you don't need necessarily the name brand parts, or maybe the weight thing's not as important if, you know, again, there's already gonna be a motor, these bikes are already gonna have a certain weight to it. You know, getting it to be more expensive to shave a couple grams, that's for a whole different set of bike riders.
A whole
bike
different
riders.
Category.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're using MicroShift, 10-speed MicroShift Advent, which is actually, you know, very good. If you've test ridden it, you can feel that it's really good. It's very efficient. And again, it's a matter of getting the most value to the customer so that more people just get on e-bikes. That's really our objective.
So outside of Salt Lake City, where can people find out more about Magnum Bikes? I mean, obviously, you know, we want to send people to your website to check out everything. But are there also kind of local like demo centers or places that people, because I think that everybody, all of my staff, all my photographers that we put on these bikes, and, you know, everybody's kind of leery, especially with the e-mountain bikes. They're like, oh, I don't know. Everyone was like, wow, this is epic. Like, these pedal nice. I mean, they pedaled efficiently, even with the motor being off. Like, we were like, you know, if this battery was to die on you, you'd still be able to pedal this bike back and you're not going to be completely upset. I mean, it rode like a real bicycle. And so that to us was like, we want to help share this Magnum story and really tell people, I mean, not all e-bikes are the same. And hey, you know, it might not just be if you're only looking at the top of the thing for the price, thinking, okay, I gotta, you know, there's bikes in this $10,000 range, that's got to be the best. Well, hey, now in this $2,000 to $3,000 range, there's some really, I mean, I tell people all the time, like, I think the sweet spot for an e-bike is right around $2,000 to $3,000, and you can buy as good of a bike as you need. I mean, I just don't really see that need for the $5,000 to $10,000 ones.
Absolutely. I think that's going to make the difference in getting people, as many people as possible, on e-bikes. Like, it's a revolution. We want to be part of it. We want to move everybody to that direction. We have about 250 shops across the U.S. That are selling our bikes, and you can demo them, you know, in those, any one of those shops. We have five of our own retail locations. We actually have one in Park City. We have one in Salt Lake City. We have one in St. George in Utah. We have Encinitas, California, Scottsdale, Arizona. Those are Magnum-owned bike shops where you can obviously come in and get a free rental, free test ride. You know, anybody that rents bikes, that will go towards your purchase if you decide later to purchase an e-bike. You know, we're trying to plug into every location possible, getting as much hype around our brand as possible. We need people like you who are really, you know, at the forefront of the industry, reviewing all the products to really tell our story over, give us that platform, because we believe we have an amazing product to offer at an affordable price.
And speaking to you, obviously, I mean, you walk the walk and you can talk the talk. I mean, it seems like, you know, you were first involved in the e-bike industry in 2010 and then, you know, 2013. And I mean, it's, so you're not kind of a fly by night. You know, we're seeing a lot of new companies that it seems like they're figuring out the factories in China, and they're saying, okay, this is the logo I want, and this is the name of the company. And, you know, it's their first year out. And then all of a sudden the bikes and the frames look pretty much identical to everything else we're seeing. Your bikes kind of stood out. They were different. I haven't seen these particular frame styles yet. And so just the way that they rode, I mean, everything. If people want to find out more information about your bikes, where is the best place to do that?
I mean, you go to magnumbikes.com. That's our website. You'll be able to find dealers on that site as well. You'll be able to find, you know, our own shops. You'll be able to find all the information and videos on our products. We have a wide variety of products. We do not just, you know, white label bikes that we see that look nice at factories. There are a lot of new companies that are doing that, obviously. You know, I've been around long enough to understand the nuances and make the difference in the product to really make it a unique value, you know. And at the same time, the new fly-by-night companies, a lot of them are really just trying to focus on buying the customer with price. At the end of the day, it's not a sustainable model. Like, there are even companies that are coming online and trying to sell at $1,500 or even below. They're just trying to, you know, trying their luck at getting into the market. Tomorrow, you know, they're not going to be around. And then who's going to service your bike and who's going to give you the support that you need? You're going to throw it to the trash. I mean, even some of the big, so there's some big companies. There's a, you know, recently a big company overseas, Van Moof, that declared for bankruptcy and like nobody can get service now. And they were, again, they raised a lot of money and made some unique products, but then they didn't have a sustainable long-term business model. And we believe in that sustainability very much. We're going to be here. We're going to be here for a long time, and we're here to support the customer, support our product, and get our products out there.
Yeah. And the fact that you do mention, you know, being based in Salt Lake City and then having your actual, you know, your five flagship stores across the country and then all your dealers, you know, I do know that there has been some brands where customer service is hard to get a hold of, or customer service is not based in the United States. And if all of a sudden there is some sort of a hiccup and maybe you do need to send a bike back or you need to get some maintenance, I think I feel much more confident, you know, pushing them toward a company that, like, we know, and so many of our readers are based in California, are based in Utah, you know, in Colorado. I mean, so they can easily get to these centers to go and, you know, either talk to you guys in person or just pick up the phone and call somebody and, you know, during the day and get somebody in Salt Lake City and be able to speak to somebody that is just as passionate about the brand and what you guys are doing. Last but not least, how many employees do you guys have total right now?
So right now we're at around 55 employees. So we're a, you know, mid-size, I would say, for the e-bike industry. We have grown over the years. You know, when we started off, obviously we're just a handful of employees. And as we grow our retail, direct-to-consumer retail shops, you know, I believe that the brick-and-mortar shops bring a lot of value. Our dealers bring a lot of value. People are thinking to themselves, well, maybe I should just buy online and cut the dealer out. You know, you don't realize until you actually have the product. This is not a commodity product that you're buying, like a cell phone that doesn't really matter where you get it from. You know, this is a product that you want a professional to back. You want somebody to be there to, you know, help you service, help you pick out the right accessories, help you service the product in a couple of months from now if you have any questions or any problems with the product, because it is a lot of moving parts, you know. So we're there, you know, not only, yeah, we do have a direct-to-consumer online presence. It's a relatively small part of our business. We believe that our dealer network and our own shops that, you know, right now we have five flagship shops, like you mentioned. We are growing those flagship shops. We're also growing our dealer network, and they bring a lot of value. Very important to get that customer support. And, you know, there's no better customer support than a face-to-face if you can get it. Obviously, if you live in an area that you don't have access to a shop, you know, you can still get our customer support, you know, by phone, by tickets. We have a robust customer support team. That's a very important part of our business. I'm all out of Salt Lake City. Very proud of that part of our business.
Yeah, no, in the times that I've spoken to your team and, you know, Hank and everybody involved at Magnum so far, it's been real easy to get a hold of you guys. And I look forward to when we can kind of meet in person at one of the next, you know, big trade events. And we're happy to keep telling this Magnum story. And I do think, like we both said, it's really important to build that relationship with your local dealer, because at some point you will want to get your bike serviced. And if you've already bought your bike there and you've already built that relationship, it's probably just going to be that much easier to get in, to get the bike serviced. And then that, you know, when you decide to buy a second bike for your family, you know, you can go and you can ask the professionals and then kind of go and read our reviews. And then at that point, kind of go and in person, because at the end of the day, I still think that the professional bike shop should be the ones that are putting these bikes together. I mean, they do have motors. I mean, they're, you know, it's not quite a motorcycle, but I like to know that the pros have done it.
That was such an important point that you made. Putting the bike together, I read so many articles on, you know, unfortunately, people getting injured or lawsuits to primarily these direct-to-consumer, like, online companies, because they're shipping bikes and then they're just expecting anybody to be putting them together without necessarily having the skills. So that's right. That's a really important point for safety. You know, I want to just emphasize that. And I think you guys at Mountain Weekly are doing, like, an amazing job reviewing the products, really getting people to understand, you know, the value behind the various products and the differences between them, because there's a lot of confusion out there right now. And it's really important to get something that's good quality and a solid brand and company that's standing behind it.
Well, Yuni, thanks again. I really appreciate you kind of explaining the background of Magnum bikes and talking about kind of the differences in the drive systems. And we're really excited to work with you guys in the future on, you know, not just the mountain bikes, because that's kind of all we've talked about, but you guys have an entire line of e-bikes. So it's not just for that mountain bike consumer, but for us, like, that's what we saw. And we're like, ooh, we want to try this. And it was something new and something hot, but we're also really excited to kind of try your full line. And it seems like mountain biking, or just the e-bike industry in general, we're just barely scratching the surface right now in the United States. And so it's really fun to be a part of an industry that is just, it's booming, and everybody's talking e-bikes right now. So we wish you guys the best of luck, and anything we can do to help you, please let us know. And for all of our consumers, you know, definitely be sure to check out Magnum Bikes. And I would definitely go ride one in person, because if you jump on one, you're probably going to pull your checkbook out and your credit card right then and, you know, want to make that purchase.
Thank you so much, Mike. And really, we're in the business of making people smile. So get on the e-bike, and I promise you, you'll have a big, big Magnum smile.
I love it. The Magnum smile. Great. Thanks again, Yuni.
Take care. The Magnum smile. Take care. Bye-bye.
Alrighty. Bye. All right. Well, that wraps up our episode number 56 of the Everything Snowboarding, Outdoors, and More podcast. This week's sponsor, once again, was Magnum Bikes. For more information on Magnum Bikes, check out magnumbikes.com. And better yet, go find one of the local dealers and take one for a test ride.